I'm Jeannie Holzbacher, and on behalf of myself and my fabulous co-host, Jill Wright, we want to welcome you to Executive Shine, Conversations That Count. We search the planet to bring you some of the most dynamic leaders in various industries who often only have one thing in common: uncommonly outrageous positive impact on people and businesses. They are leaving this world a much better place. So kick back and join us. Grab a few insights you can immediately apply to leverage your leadership and foster greater connection in a world that's become increasingly disconnected. They so desperately need you to shine your light bright. Cheers. All right. Welcome, everyone, to yet another episode of Conversations That Count. And tonight, we have a dynamic gentleman, Dr. Philip Agrios, who is going to be sharing with us a program that he developed himself over 30 years ago. He works with high-level business executives and companies in helping them to work more effectively together as individuals and as teams. But here's the good thing about his stuff. It's not just for businesses. It's transferable to every area of your life. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about how this all got started?
Hi, ladies. Thank you so much for inviting me out here. I remember one day I woke up in the middle of the night. It was pitch dark, you know, it was dead silence and couldn't sleep. I'm like, well, why am I laying here? Let me go into my study. And I was going in there and I was looking for something, and I came across my goals that I've written down 5 years prior, right? You ever have that happen to you, right?
Yeah.
I was a little excited, right? You know, start reading my goals. And when I got down to the last one, I didn't accomplish one damn thing. And I just sat there and I was like, what? And I was like first shocked. And then I was like kind of devastated. Something about dead silence that kind of, especially there for a while, kind of like she kind of go deeper. And I was like, what a loser and things like that. And I just kept on being sitting with that. And I realized that I don't understand it. I was, you know, listening to all the great gurus, right? You know, I was getting all their cassette tape programs. Yeah, that's how far back. Remember cassette tapes? That's how far back I'm going.
Yes, I do.
And I'm like, and then something just deep down told me, there's something you're not being taught. And I thought at that moment, I wanted to go out and try to find that. Didn't have no clue, but did not want to ever feel that way again. So during those few years and things started happening, I was able to come across a protective trait that we're born with. And I called it the inborn sabotaging trait. Not that it undermines us, but it actually protects us from the very success that we seek, because that success is subconsciously more painful than us changing our ineffective behavior. And when I first found this, I was like, I was on my living room floor, and I'm like, wait a minute, this one trait is causing all my present day problems. It's caused every problem throughout my entire life, even down to childhood. And I went, wait a minute, I can predict my future, because every time I'm stressed or feel imbalanced, it's protecting me. I'm like, there is no way it's this simple. So I went out to try to disprove it, because my reputation was very important, or still is very important to me. And over thousands of people, over 30 years, I could not. And I realized that this trait wasn't, the reason why I didn't achieve my goals wasn't because I wasn't good enough, or you're not enough of this, or you're not enough of that. It was that this trait was just trying to protect me. And when I realized this kind of like this shade came out of over my head and was like, wow, because there's only two things we do. We protect, we grow, we expand, we contract, we give and take. So we're vibrational beings. And I thought, wow, this inborn sabotage trait putting me in a protective mode. And then during the process, I was able to discover an antidote. And I called it the antidote because it actually worked 100% of the time. And I always joke with people. It's like, when you hear someone say this works 100% of the time, what should you do first? Run, right? So I went out to try to disprove it, and I couldn't. Whether it's a CEO of a multi-million-dollar company or a teenager, and yes, how powerful this is, actually works on teenagers. And what I did was I was able to see that this antidote was the exact opposite to the inborn sabotaging trait. So every time when you use the antidote, this influence would come over you, knowing that it would give you the opportunity to have the necessary action to create the transformation within yourself, so you can actually release your own personal and professional power. So here's the key. When you first unleash your personal or professional power and it starts to kick in and you feel uncomfortable, bam, your inborn sabotaging kicks in to protect you. Or if you start feeling good about it until you get to a point where you're uncomfortable with the growth, again, it kicks in. So that I realized that the saboteur wasn't there. It was actually there because as soon as I go into protection, I'm ready to evolve. That to evolve was more painful than staying in the protective mode. So that's kind of a brief overview of what I discovered. There's much more, but that's kind of a brief overview.
You said success is more painful than the habits we use to sabotage ourselves. And I'd like to argue with that, but I can't, because I have a friend that was always saying, I can't wait till I hit the $1 million mark in sales this year. And for several years in a row, he kept only getting to 900,000 until he finally recognized that he was fearful of taking things to that next level in numbers.
Yep. Exactly. See, there are three basic reasons why your saboteur kicks in. The first one is that you're starting to reach and you get to the level of success that you want, and then you lost it, right? You ever have that where you got to that point? So I remember talking to a gentleman one time, and he had a $10 million idea that he shelved. So my first question was, when did you lose your first million? He goes, how'd you know that? I said, if I had a $10 million idea, I wouldn't be shelving it. He goes, well, I did lose it. And I was for 5 or 6 months, I was on my sister's couch and I was homeless. And I said, okay, and you got yourself back. He goes, I got myself back going. And I said, okay, when did you lose your second million? He goes, how'd you know that? I said, same reason. He goes, well, I made a major investment, like over $800,000, and the guy took off and I lost it. I said, can you understand that if you don't get to 10 million, you're going to quadruple to even 10 to 20 times more your pain, because if you ever lost it again, it was more painful? Dead silence on the phone. And he realized that was the reason. Same thing with heartbreak, right? Oh, you know, she broke my heart, or he broke my heart. Well, if you had that much pain, you will never get to that point. So you always bring people in less to who you want, because that's less painful than actually having the love and losing it. So that's number one. Number two is, I have to do what to get to success? I got to take this course that Agrios is offering. I got to read a book. I got to go back to school. I got to go on a program to help me with health. Are you out of your mind? You know what? There is a great new series on Netflix that everybody's talking about. I promise, after I get through that, I'll start on that journey. Yeah, that's not going to happen. So again, what is the process of getting there? Because people don't realize, you know, when you see these successful people, they have no idea what they went through, right? And that's why I love watching true movies and reading biographies, because you're really seeing what the person went through. The third thing is that if you actually did double your business or your practice, people go, oh, I want to double my business. I said, no, you don't. He goes, what are you talking about? I said, if you actually doubled your business, looking at what's going on, you would never see your family. You would be so overwhelmed because you don't have enough systems and staff and everything to handle that growth. So those are the three reasons why people subconsciously stop themselves from moving forward, because that success is subconsciously more painful and they know it, but on the conscious level, they're denying it.
So I think at some point I've done every one.
Yeah.
I think at some point, and my latest one is number three. You know, I know where I need to go next, but I also know that systems need to be in place in order for that to happen. Otherwise I'll burn myself out. And since saying no is one of my rules this year more often, I can't, you know, I have to be in alignment with that.
Definitely. There's no doubt. And that's where people just don't realize that's the true reason. And when I tell people, they look at me like I'm out of my mind, which I am, but that's another story for another time. But it really gives you the ability to really see this, that the reason why you're not going, because the evolution is more painful than staying where you're at. And that's why when my background used to be a chiropractor and a functional medicine practitioner, I used to treat thyroid and autoimmune. That was my specialty. And the reason why I had very high success, I used to have over 90% success rate, which is unheard of with the autoimmune people, a disease, is because not only was I changing their diet and looking at their blood work and doing that, I was also showing them that why health was more painful than the disease symptoms that they were having. And once they understood the saboteur and the antidote, it would then start to balance them out. Therefore, their stress wouldn't kick in, causing what's called the autoimmune flare-ups. And that's where they started to really see that they had control over this.
Wow. So I actually, before this show tonight, got on your website, which we'll put a link in and we'll ask you about it in a little bit, and took the test. Because there's three different saboteurs, right?
Correct.
And what are the names of each of them?
So the three saboteurs, we call them saboteurs because a saboteur is a person who sabotages, right? And if I can just go off in tangent for 1 minute, the reason why I use saboteur or sabotage is that it comes from the original meaning from the French in 1890 from Emile Puget, who they used it to help the workers to become inefficient and slow down so they could get the attention of the factory owners. And saboteur was basically an inefficiency. So I used it as the inborn sabotage trait because that is now slowing you down and making things inefficient to get your attention to know that what you're doing really isn't working. So I want to at least set that point up, because a lot of people go, well, I don't believe in sabotage. I don't like sabotage and all that. And I said, well, yeah, if you use it in that way, but if you use it in this way, it's a much different connotation of the original meaning, because a lot of times words get bastardized throughout the years, right? Mm-hmm. So throughout the years, I was able to come up with three words that I could be able to really understand that there are so many more synonymous words under this word. So you have a call the director saboteur, the communicator saboteur, and the supplier saboteur. So over 7.5 billion people in the world, there are only three of these saboteurs. And when you get onto the website and take a 9-question quiz, it's not 80 questions or 100,000 questions like a lot of all the personality tests are, and you have all this and this, you have one, and this is the only personality test actually gives you a solution, by the way. So once you understand that, you will then understand your inborn sabotage trait of how it's being affected to yourself, how it's affected you throughout your entire life, and how it will affect you in the future.
So I ended up being the same type of saboteur that Jill is.
Okay, and that was the...
Imagine that.
The supplier saboteur, correct?
Correct.
So the supplier saboteur is a person that has a hard time saying no. They overly supply. They overly give because is within their genetic makeup that I find is that they always feel that they have to constantly overly give, and they don't self-nurture themselves because they focus on everybody else's feelings. And they don't want to focus on themselves because they don't want to feel and get hurt. So people have taken advantage of your kindness in the past, right? Because you want to overly give. Now, that's one side of it. It goes a little deeper, but because of time frame. Now, the other side is that now you got so hurt, you're like, forget about you. I'm done. Get out of my life. You yell at them. I'm taking care of me, whatever the case may be. And then depending on that person later, you may feel guilty, and then you go back over the giving. So you go back and forth like this. They're both protection. One is withdrawal, right? Is because I'm going to take care of me and all that. And then the other type of projection is now engaging, throwing and yelling or screaming at that person to push them away from you, right? So you go back and forth. But the antidote allows you to go back into the middle, because the actual antidote is the exact opposite of the saboteur, which is to value yourself and others. So what happens is by you actually valuing yourself, which when you start doing that, your brain freaks out. Going, are you out of your mind? Because if I actually become selfish, because you think it's selfish, my mom will think I'm the worst wife ever. I think my mom will think I'm the worst person ever. My mom would feel this, or my grandmother or other people will feel this way, because you've been ingrained that could be it, depending on the culture. Or you don't have any of that, but because of your own self, you just feel very bad that you take. So for instance, if you're a business owner, right? And if you're a supplier saboteur, you're the type of people where when you have a new customer or a potential new client, you give too much information. You give a lot. And a lot of times they don't hire you because you told them what the other person's doing I can do for you. And they're like, well, why should I hire you? Right. So, or you give them so much that now you overwhelm them. And they're like, if I hire this person, I'm going to be worse shape than ever. So the supplier saboteur deals with that aspect of it. Now, the director saboteur is a person who's scattered all over the place, if in different directions. They like to wing things. They don't like to plan things out. Don't tell them what to do. And they don't like responsibility or accountability. Now, that's one side. Now, the other side, they can be so focused that they go, oh, I'll be out in 3 minutes. And 3 hours later, they emerge. They have a time distortion. And they get so focused in dealing with this thing that now they've ignored for 2, 3, 4 days everything else. And now they're more overwhelmed and they go back again being scattered. And those are the type of people that can get 99% done and then they stop and they do something else.
Oh, so they're the people that go through 3.5 years of college, but then don't finish that degree.
Possibility. Again, it could be somebody else, but yeah, it could be because they're not finishing. They have like 15 projects that they're not really dealing with. The other one is the communicator saboteur. These are people that love to listen. You have no idea what they're thinking. You're like, can you at least show some expression? Can you show some emotion so I know what you're thinking? I'm sorry?
I said, yeah, I know somebody like that.
Right. And they are over-processing. But they have a hard time confronting because they don't want to feel stupid and for somebody to attack them. Okay. Now they can go to the other extreme where they've had enough. And depending who the person is, they will scream and yell at them. Okay. And then all of a sudden they will disconnect and it's very hard to get back into their graces. So those kind of the basis of all three, everybody falls into play. Over thousands of people, not one person, when I talked with them, would ever say, no, I don't agree with it. And if they do, then they have the wrong saboteur. I remember one business owner, he was saying for 3, 4 days, he was like all over the place. And we thought he was a director saboteur because he had put himself in such a situation. About a week or two, things were going well, but not great. And we were talking, he just looked at me and goes, I don't think you know who I am. And I said, wait a minute, no one ever tells me that. And then we realized he was really the supplier saboteur. But because of so much going on, it was just a misread. It happens once in a while. As soon as he started utilizing the antidote of the supplier, within less than 3 days, things started shifting and things started to be growth in his practice.
So things shift that quickly?
I've had people after an hour and a half call me up and go, I can't believe this is working this quickly. If you utilize it the way we're asking you to. Now, what happens is, like, for instance, we're asking you to kind of say no a little bit. I'm not asking you to say no to everybody and just don't give a crap. Okay. We're asking you to do 10 to 15% of that. And when you start doing this, you'll realize, wow, the person didn't kill me or they didn't, throw something at me. Wow, this is not that bad. And you were doing it. You were telling me, Jeannie, that you started to say no to other things, that you started to take care of you by you self-nourishing. So something major outside of you had to happen to finally shift you to doing it, but you had no idea that you were using the antidote. And that's why my book is called Repeatable
Success. It was a health scare for me. For me, it was a health scare that shifted me radically. But I would say also that I've been sort of doing some of that before that health scare, but I think I did the black and white extreme version. Mm-hmm. And so I went so far the other way. I'm like, leave me alone. I need, with some people, I just got to get away. And I didn't even have the energy to explain myself. And I had to be okay as a people pleaser with being misunderstood.
Right, because you had a reason. Mm-hmm. If you didn't have a reason, you would have never gotten into that. Or you may have, but not as with so much vigor as you have.
Correct. So Jill and I, we both came up with the supplier saboteur, but we recently did, and I was telling him before you got on, Jill, I just gave him a quick overview. We recently did a consulting event together and we had a blast and it was phenomenal. But it was funny because it was our first time together in person and it was our first time doing this. We didn't know how it was going to turn out because we've never done this together before. I brought something in, she brought something in, we were working with these people. And so the whole weekend, I'm like, okay, we got to get some structure. We got to get a plan. And Jill's going, let go. And like, God. And I'm going, God likes structure too. I'm sure he does. I mean, look at how he orderly made the universe, quantum physics. So I'm sure it's so. She's like, just relax. And so where did we go different?
Well, there are two other traits that we don't, that doesn't show up in this quiz. But actually, when we take the course, the same quiz does bring out the two other traits called the personality stress sequence. So Jill, so you have a dominant trait, a mediator trait, and then the saboteur. And I have it in stair step, like a seesaw. So Jill, may I ask you a question? Do you like to talk? Do you kind of, some people tell you overly talk, where sometimes you give too much information, things like that?
I think I have in the past. I mm-hmm. think that's something that I've definitely grown. I mean, look, I've actually been quiet on this show.
Yeah,
so
I was
far.
Wondering why you were so not.
Well, I'm listening to you two and thinking. So I took your quiz last week, and I've been really observing myself all week and looking at where I can take care of where. Where is it coming up that I'm taking care of other people first? And when I have the urge to take care of someone else, that I'm catching myself and saying, wait a minute. Okay, it's okay to take care of someone else, but have I taken care of me? So do I have enough in me that I'm that I feel like I can take care of someone else or give from a place of overflow, you know, or at least balance, rather than a deficit, you know, where am I doing things from and for what reason? So I've been really examining your principles in my life because I knew we were going to talk this week so I could learn more about this. So I related when you said a lot of the director stuff when I get scattered, because I do a lot of that, but I don't know about the giving too much information, but I guess I would be prone to that if I had to choose between not giving enough information.
Right. So you have more real, and I'm glad you brought all that up, because when people take the quiz, what was the first thing saying is that if you've had a lot of coaching, you've had a lot of professional help, do not answer it as of today. Go back to the old time, because we're not talking about the 90% of your life that's going great. We're talking about that 10%. And remember, business and personal are not separate. They are one. When you use your saboteur, it affects both the business and your personal. And when you use the antidote, it affects both at the same time. So when you say, well, I used to do a lot of that, right? And you've worked well with that. So that would be at times when you don't handle things well, you can go into an overly talking, kind of over expressing type of situation. Maybe not talking, maybe your expressions. You kind of wear your emotions on your sleeve at times, correct?
Right. Definitely.
So that's what's called the communicator dominant. Okay. So that's where I call communicator dominance a vomit. Let me tell you about this. And then people can't get in it where it's edgewise. You probably know people like that, right? And you might have been that way, but because of the things you've done, you've helped balance that out. But what's really cool is, and Jeannie just asked, how quick can this happen? You're seeing how quick it happened by just using part of the antidote, right? It was pretty quick. Now, what happened is why have you been very quiet? Because what you've done is now, here's the supplier and the communicator. You've actually now used the antidote, and then you've disconnected and gone within to kind of observe. But when you're in bounds, as in upset with some people, you can go to the point, forget about you, I'm going to disconnect. See the difference?
I absolutely can.
And then
I
you can go like this. So this is the protection mode doing this. But when you use the antidote, it then balances it out. Does that make sense? It's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
So that's why back when you could be, how many salespeople out there, okay? If you're a person that overly talks, right? Have you ever had anybody say, well, you talk so much, you need what? A communication course, correct? I say, no, that's the last thing you need. You're a phenomenal communicator because that's what you do. That's your dominant. You love to connect to people. You like to disconnect and then put things back together so they work better. Correct, Jill?
Absolutely.
Right. Now, but when they're in front of a client, what I do is I tell them, I don't care about your communication skills. I want to know if you're a supplier, a saboteur, you're coming in feeling that you're not as valuable to this person that's in front of you. So you use your communicator to overly compensate and overly talk because you feel insecure. If you're a director saboteur, the reason why you're overly compensating, over talking, is because you're not focused. You're not, you don't have a plan. You're not clear. So as soon as they come in and start working their antidote, their communication is spot on. I just had a client who had this, has actually the same sequence as you. When we first started, within 2 weeks, she had an increase of $86,000 in a month because she realized she was overly talking, overwhelming people. And that's why I have a system that I can increase people's closing rates by 86.2% because I show them that the saboteur is actually pushing that sale away. And by using 6 steps that I have, they can actually now increase their closing rates. Right? Does that resonate with you?
Absolutely.
Now, like, with good.
You see everything about me.
Yeah. See, once I know someone's personality sequence, I can tell you everything, why you failed in the past, why you succeeded, why things are going, why you're doing everything without even meeting you. I've had where I've talked with my clients and we talked about their spouse and I can say everything about them, go, my God, it's like, you know her. And I say, yeah, because this is that scientific. Now, Jeannie, with yourself, we were talking, you're the actually opposite with the dominant and the mediator trait with Jill. You're more of a director, right? Dominant directors are very organized, you know, do not color outside my lines. Okay. Dominant directors think they know everything, that they're always right. Majority times they are because they have their facts. There are some times when they aren't, and they still will try to get out of it by saying, I'm right because of this, this, and this. They won't admit it. Right. Am I on so far with you? So what happens with you? Yeah. Look at Jill's all freaking out. Yeah, exactly. So what happens, Jeannie, is that when you're stressed, you come in with your director. I got to micromanage people. I got to, you know, sometimes you might manipulate them, or are you trying to control them, going that you've got to go down this road because mm-hmm. you're not valuing them, because you're coming in as the manager, because you're not valuing your own thought process in your own space, right? Mm-hmm. So what happens is by actually you becoming your antidote, you will now be able to feel first, then think and plan. You plan, and then we'll figure out how this makes people feel. Jill goes, okay, I'm going to express and take action, then we'll worry about how this feels later. So you two have to come in and feeling first, how's this making me feel? How's this value? And then go into more direction or more communication, depending on that. Does that, I know it's kind of, it may not sound a little complicated, but does that resonate?
Yeah.
Totally resonates. He's right. Healing us, Jeannie. I'm so excited.
Now, Jill and I, you and I have talked, but I, Jeannie, I just met you 5-10 minutes prior to talking with you. But as soon as I know your personality stress sequence, I can tell everything about you. And now what's really cool is that what I teach too, is that why people judge each other. First of all, judgment is just a protection, right? We think certain things of a person, all that. But I go down a little deeper with my work. The reason why I can judge you is because your saboteur is my dominant trait. So for instance, if you're a communicator, Jill, and you're talking, you're mean one day, you just don't care and you're just, I'm done. And you have a communicator saboteur who's not going to talk, you can go, what's wrong with you? Just open your mouth. You know, just tell me what's happening. Express to me. Right. If you have a dominant director and a director saboteur who's all over the place, you can go, what's wrong with you? Just make a list. Just follow it through. Are you that inept? Or you have a supplier to a supplier saboteur. What's wrong with you? You love abuse? Why did you just say no to this person? Get out of the relationship. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
So you two can actually judge each other at times by Jeannie going, will you stop talking so much because let's focus? Or Jill may go, my God, Jeannie, would you stop getting so overly structured here? Let's just kind of loosen up a little bit. Can you see how the situation with you two happened? You want to become more overly connecting. Let's just try to connect and be cool. And Jeannie's like, no, we need to have some structure. So when you two come together and use each other's antidote, you can now work your magic by working together instead of against each other. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense, and it describes us to a T. And actually, we can be very, I don't think we've ever been rude with each other, but we can provide each other very direct feedback along those same lines sometimes.
Right. Well, you're two suppliers telling somebody something bad, it's just not going to happen because you're going to feel bad doing it.
So as I'm listening to this, and I saw on your website some other people who've like 10x their results and things. So my question to you is this: you know that we are coming out of a whole year in COVID, and there's a lot of conversation around we need to get these results. And I'm in healthcare, but I don't think it's just in healthcare; it's in all kinds of business and sales teams. We need to get these results, and the reason we haven't is because of COVID. And I do understand that COVID has impacted all of us, and I have felt it. I have felt it. Our teams have felt it. My question to you is, when is that an excuse, and when is it a hiding and sabotaging us from getting results to next level?
The first minute they heard about it. Now, with my clients, the first minute they heard about it, because my clients, when they would have the, we had meetings, and they're like, okay, you got a choice. You can freak out right now. You can go into protection, whatever, this and this, or you can look at it going, why is this happening now? What benefit is happening? What gift are we having here? So like with the restaurants, shifted into more to go and things like that. So my restaurants didn't really feel that big of a hit, right? Because they were doing other things and seeing, well, we can do this and do that because they were taking more proactive mode. I had developers or people that the COVID, and I would talk to people that I would meet on LinkedIn, and it was this the best time that they ever had because of how they looked at with COVID. And there was other business that got hit because they didn't really look at this as a benefit for them and how they could shift, you know, as what everything will happen. So what can you do to shift it? You're going to go through some lean times. I was just talking to a practitioner. He actually made $11,000 more through COVID because he even though he lost $80,000, he saved $90,000 in overhead. Or $91,000. And he was like, wow. I'm still ahead. I said, yeah, but now you can see you can now work more lean because you got rid of this and this and this. Yes, exactly. And I can tell you other stories, but you have to realize that everything is a positive, everything is a negative, or it just is. You can come in as it just being is and not being personalized with it. You can then allow to see what's happening. Here's what I tell people. Everything outside of you is you, okay? The person you can't stand in your life is a part of you you can't stand. They're just showing up to show you what you're not dealing with, okay?
So that's COVID, a conversation we just had.
Oh, you did. So COVID comes in. Now the question is how is COVID like me? COVID is helping me to say, we need to get lean. We got to do this. I've had some people, businesses shift into something totally different that they would never think about. And now they're being successful. So again, it comes down to the management of where they want to be, what's going on, and how can I do this? Now, when is the next one going to happen? To me, it's probably going to happen again somewhere. But the question is, what do you have in place? Are you ready? Or are you just being la, 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 going, okay, this will never happen. There's no way. And now they get hit again, right? Or the government will take care of us and all that. And that's okay if that's how you want to deal with it. But if you want to really take this and take control over it, having a consultant or somebody to help you through that, to look at it differently because it's so close to you, by pulling it back, you can see much differently. Would you agree?
I would.
Absolutely.
I would also agree that as I'm listening to you, what I'm hearing is about almost like the law of cause and effect. Are we going to sit there and go, wow, look at everything externally around me that's happening to me? Or are we going to recognize life is happening for us and take ownership of how we're going to make it work?
Absolutely. Hey, look, I went through a lot over these last years. I mean, I went through a horrific divorce. I had multiple financial ruin, not once. I had to do it a few times just to get the experience, right? both of my parents, you know, being for 7 years, being a sole caretaker of my mom during that time before she died. My daughter almost committing suicide to a point of I lost my whole practice after 15 years due to a disability and so many more things. And I went through that process and I say, I have no regret, because if I never went through any of that, I wouldn't be here talking to you beautiful ladies, because I would have never discovered what I discovered. Mm-hmm. And absolutely, that's the truth of it. I would not have been able, this is, no one else is teaching this. I always joke, Tony Robbins is not even teaching this. He doesn't even know about this. And no one else has this information. And I was able to, and I'm blessed that I was able to get that and do it and use it. But I'm going to tell you something. 5 years ago, I almost destroyed everything. I almost burned everything. I almost destroyed everything off my computer because I was so feeling down on myself, going, I was given a gift. I've given something that's so powerful that I'm not getting it out. I don't know why. I know why, because I still had to go through some things and discover things, right? But a friend of mine called me that day and talked me out of it. So it's just looking and being and allowing the flow. Don't force things, but let things happen. But don't be the kind of back and go, oh, let's just see what happens and I won't do anything, you know, call me next Tuesday type of thing. But it's constantly being proactive, but listening to what's happening around you.
I think that's really powerful. Oops, sorry, Jeannie. I think that's really powerful. And I think our listeners would, can we unpack some of that, some of the things that you did? We need to go to commercial break, and then can we come back and let's unpack some of the ways that you got out of those situations? Because I think there's a lot of people right now experiencing those things that can benefit so much from what you're teaching us.
Sure. Be happy to be vulnerable. Vulnerable creates credibility, right? Now, if I can be helpful through my own experiences, that's why I'm here.
Awesome.
Are you sick and tired of being tired? Are you tired of your clothes not fitting the way you want them to? Are you frustrated when you look at that number on the scale? Seeing the number on the scale can be frustrating. Imagine a whole new generation of products that focus on what really counts, body composition. We have introduced an innovative trio of products that focus on fat loss and body composition, more muscle, less fat. This is the first in the world combination to reduce fat loss. It accelerates fat reduction, reduces fat cell size, reduces fat cell formation, improves muscle tone, boosts metabolism, burns more calories, and promotes lean body composition. This lean body system is the game changer you've been looking for. Go to trimwithus.com for $10 off on your first order today.
So Jill was actually on the cusp of what I was going to say in a different way when she said, can we unpack some of this? Personally, I would never bring a consultant into our organization or any organization that hadn't been through hell and back. I want the people who have earned their stripes.
Oh, I got a few.
So, and we've had some people, like I know I have with work, and so, and Jill has in her life, we've had some people that have had some incredible struggles this year. So when you think about looking back on, what do you wish you had known as you were in the midst of the heat that you now know?
Well, what was interesting is during the process, the reason why I was going through what I had to go through, because I didn't know what I didn't know at that moment. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So for instance, you know, losing my practice because of a disability, I had a thing called thoracic atlas syndrome, caused weakness and numbness down both my hands. I had a carpal tunnel in both hands. I used to get out of bed and I was walk like I was feeling I was on walking on glass. And I was in my late 30s, and the stresses and all the things that got to me, that a point where I had to go on disability, and then I lost my practice. I had to sell my practice to my competitor, and telling them, I was told I would never practice again. So what do I do now? And looking back at that, I realized that with my own saboteur, how I didn't know what to do. I'm a director saboteur. So when you don't know, a director saboteur is when they don't know what to do, they freeze, they do something a little more comfortable and things like that. I didn't know what to do. I would look at, try to, because what I was going through, no one knew. And I was this I can't explain it, but this inner force of going that you have something that you have to get out to the world. And so many times I would try this and this, and that's why during my patients, they were kind of like getting pigs of asking questions and doing this, does this work, does that work? And then all my clients and just meeting more and more people. And when I got to that point of why is this happening, there are many times I've lost it. Many times, like, why me? And then I would go, why not you? You know, what are you? And I would go, okay, what gift am I getting? And I would say that 1,000 times a day. I wonder what gift I'm getting. I wonder what gift I'm getting. Oh, I wonder what this is going to show me. And it would show me, and then later on. And one of the things that really happened when I, you know, with my divorce, I gave a lot of money, more than I should have, because I was just whatever. I won't get into it because it involves my ex. But I remember realizing I gave all this money. I was really upset about it. But then when there's a technique that I show people that what was I gave this. If I giving something, I must have gotten the same amount of value, even though I didn't get the same amount of money, but I got experience. And when I actually then sat there and go, okay, what can I do with this? How can I help? I realized the benefit of that happening. And once I realized that what I was doing and being upset about was really a benefit for me, because then I created courses and this, and I started helping people. But I mean, I saved divorces. I saved people from getting a divorce because I went through it. But I then used what I was able to use to show them, because what happens is this, especially what have you hear about, you know, domestic violence and all that. The reason why these people used to be in love and then they hate each other, because they're protecting themselves from each other. That's it. Remember, you protect or you grow. Mm-hmm. So they're protecting each other. So what happens is when they, a client. Our first meeting, I showed him who he was and all that. He was ecstatic. Second meeting goes, man, you opened my eyes. It was so a revelation. I definitely need a divorce. I went, what? It's like, time out. You know, I've been through it. I don't advise it. But we realized that his wife, who was okay coming in, when they realized that, this is the first time I actually had two husband and wife actually had the same saboteur. And they realized once they understood that and understood their dominance and everything else, they started to realize that they didn't really hate each other. They just didn't like what the other person was doing because they didn't understand why the other person was doing it. Then she went and got some therapy. He and I worked more together and they saved their marriage. So what I'm saying is that by understanding someone else's saboteur, and then using their antidote to your antidote, you can eliminate conflict. I was doing my workshop. I have a workshop that I come in and I show employees and management how they are subconsciously sabotaging the business. How they do that is because I found that each business has its own saboteur. So both of you have two, your own businesses, but they also have its own saboteur and antidote. And I show people that how they're using their saboteur to the business's saboteur and enhancing it. And as soon as they use the antidote of their own personal antidote to the business's antidote, it's like a valve of success just kicks in. So as I was talking, this manager came up to me and said, you know, my son's always upstairs playing video games. I can't get him downstairs and to interact with the family. So I asked him a couple of questions. We ascertained his son's antidote, saboteur, gave him a little more in-depth antidote than what I give on the quiz. And within less than a week, his son was downstairs interacting. And within 2 months, their relationship skyrocketed. The reason why, because he actually saw how powerful what I was teaching, that he realized he was actually pushing and demeaning his son. And his son was a communicative saboteur. So he went into more introversion, becoming more introvert. But as soon as he realized what he did, he used his antidote to his son's antidote. And that quick, things started to shift. And I see that over and over again with parents to children, couples, business owners, employees, taking a low performing employee. And the reason why they're not performing well, because you're supporting them in the way you think they need to be supported, which is not really how they need to be supported. It's really how you need to be supported. But as soon as you use your antidote to their antidote, it's like a shift that happens. And I've seen tremendous changes in employees when managers realize what they have. So, is that helpful? I got a little winded. I apologize for that.
No. That was great.
It's not that people are doing things against you. So, I mean, being offended is a choice, right?
Well, yeah, because there's things called attributions, right? There's two types. There's the personality and there's situational. Situational is when you go to that front desk receptionist and they're not really, the doctor's front desk receptionist, and they're not really happy or really kind of rude. Situational is they're rude because they just got off the phone with somebody rude, or they really feel like horrible. It's situational. Personality is you just think they're just a rude person, a callous person. Right. But basically, if you come in, because a person mother might have died 2 days ago. You don't know. Things might have happened to that person. So by you coming in and being a little more compassionate towards them and say, you okay and all that, and not taking it personally, so many times you'll see it's not really what you thought. I do that all the time.
Oh, I found that recently. I had somebody giving me some input on some things, and maybe in the past, I might have been much more quick to react emotionally. But instead, I just decided to sit back objectively and not personalize it and really listen. And it had a whole different perspective for me, not just about me, but about that individual and trying to understand where they're coming from. Because I realize people don't do things against us as much as they're doing things for themselves.
What happens is, I heard this a long time ago and I didn't understand it. They said that everybody that comes into your life, you're responsible for. Any event or person that comes into your life, you're responsible to them. And I didn't understand. Like, are you kidding me? That situation I heard about, I'm responsible. I brought that in. Makes no sense. But during time, I realized is that that situation comes up. And then if I react in a negative way, it's there to show me what else is happening within me. And when you really look at this, and some people go, wow, that's foo-foo self. I'm telling you, it isn't. I see this every day with my clients. I thought so myself until I started actually determining and tracking it. And when that happens, there's something within you. That's why you're reacting to it. And when you can realize that, you can shift it. It gives you the ability to realize, oh, my God, I just evolved. So with supplier saboteurs especially, you're not responsible for anyone except you. You're not even responsible for your children. Now, some people go, oh, he's a horrible dad. Right? What I'm saying is that you're not responsible for them. You're responsible to them. If you're responsible for them, then you're going to force them going, they have to go down this road. You got to do this because I know better than you. Da, 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 da. Right? That's where you're trying to mold them instead of unfold them. The way that you're responsible to them, you kind of go, okay, great. How'd that work for you? All right. You're doing this. And how's that working for you? And we forget that kids only been on this earth for a few years, depending on how young they are. And we've been on much longer and we still haven't figured it out. We expect them to figure it out. Right. So by you really looking at it and going, I'm responsible to you and help you through this. It's just like if you have children, when they were falling on their butt, you didn't come over and grab them and go, okay, I don't want you to hurt your butt. And then they ran over and then 8 years old and 16 years old, you let them fall on their butt, but you make sure they didn't hit their head on the cocktail table. And when you don't do that, when you are feeling that people are responsible for, you're enabling them and make it weaker.
Absolutely. It's so true. And it's so true. Jeannie and I just had this conversation about everything that shows up in your life is showing you this is a gift. This is an opportunity for you to look at something that you can't see within yourself, because within your own psyche, it's like you're swimming in it. So you can't really see it. But that's why those things, that's why connection and having other people in our lives is so important. Because like you said, that's how we grow. That's how we evolve. And sometimes it sucks. But,
oh, yeah.
Oh, but if you know that it's there to teach you and you know that this is your opportunity to expand, you have that mindset and that understanding and perspective, it makes it so much easier.
Yeah. As soon as you go through something negative or you feel horrible or whatever the case may be, if you ask yourself the question, how am I evolving at this moment? Because when you evolve, you dissolve at the same time. All right. So People, huh?
That's so good.
Yeah, people go, well, my life is falling. Right. You evolve or you dissolve. It's the same thing. Now, depending on the situation, you need both. Right. So, for instance, I always tell people, look, I don't care if you go into the corner, take your pillow, suck your thumb, go in a fetal position in the corner. I don't care. That's just protection. The question is how long are you there? So are you depressed for 5 years? Are you depressed for a year? Are you doing this? It's okay to protect yourself, but you need to start shifting. And the antidote allows you to shift from protection to growth immediately. So that's where people need to be okay to protect yourself. But how long am I in that mode?
So what's the name of your website? We'll have it in the show notes, but what's the name of your website where people can go and take this free test like Jill and I did?
It's BeFitToSucceed.com. BeFitToSucceed.com.
Yeah, there's a lot there. I didn't, because of the show, I wanted to get on after I got my results to have some time to talk with you, but there's a lot on that website that I still need to check out.
Yeah, they can go on to the product and service part, and there's a free video called The Gratitude List, Never Forgive Again. And what I show people is that if you're grateful for something, there's never a need to ever forgive yourself or anybody else. It's a different concept, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gratitude is to give, so is to forgive, to forgo, right? So if I have a situation that I'm really upset because this person did this to me, and because of that, I was able to shift and do something different with it, then why should I forgive that person where they allowed me to shift and move forward, right? So there's always that opportunity, everything. See, there's no fear, and you can't get rid of fear because fear is the opposite of, let's say, trust, right? So when I do this, if I want to get rid of fear, that means I'd have to chop my front of my hand off. Do I ever? No. If I do, then everything goes away. So it's, you don't overcome fear, you just turn into trust. If you trust, therefore you can't fear. If you fear, therefore you can't trust. It's just the opposite. So when you're protection, if you're doing the antidote, using the saboteur, when you use the antidote, it's that quick. And that's where my brain just didn't understand it 30 years ago, going, it can't be that simple. And yet it is. I mean, I have much more, it goes much, much deeper. I have a new live group course that comes in. It's 9 weeks. We really go deeper into my 6-step blueprint and showing how to understand other people's saboteurs so you can stop the conflict, understand your business, understand that there actually is just one word that actually stops your goals. And you go through the process and realize this is just this one word is stopping me from achieving my goal. And then there's techniques you do and a plan. And we've seen people change tremendously with that.
You said trust. And that's the key to me, because as we're wrapping up the show tonight, I want to end on this note. Trust is the single most entity that affects a company's financial bottom line more than any other single entity. And building trust with the people you work with for and who report to you is critical in order to have business success.
Yeah, and if you don't trust, then it's not because you're not trusting them, you don't trust you to trust others. You always have to trust you first. Never trust anybody, trust yourself, and then trust them, and then verify.
Well, it's true. And I think kind of what you're talking about too in both cases is awareness. And whether from a leadership perspective, do you have awareness on what your own saboteur is, what your own antidote is, how you handle yourself? Because like I say in business, like love rolls downhill too, you know, so does awareness, so does trust. You can see when you've taken the time as a leader to work on yourself and you have awareness. And so you can see in yourself, oh, there my saboteur just came up for me. Exactly. So what am I going to do about it? You know, go to my anecdote. When you have those solutions, like you teach, then you can make a choice. Exactly. And you could choose to move forward in a positive, evolving way instead of dissolving. And I think that's what happens within companies too. When you agree, Jeannie? I mean, like, we just see it all the time. Mm-hmm.
Very much.
Oh, absolutely. I see with my companies, and we go in and really show them what they're doing and how their staff is just, they're subconsciously, some are consciously sabotaging, but they're subconsciously shifting. So when they take the quiz, when you get those results, you get a video of me explaining it, and then there's written information. But there is a 15-minute chat opportunity to have with me where I can kind of go over a little bit with you what's happening. So I would suggest take that opportunity where you can actually do that. Sit down with me through a Zoom, and we have a 15-minute chat going over your antidote and your saboteur to help you understand a little bit more.
Absolutely. And I put all that information in the show notes so they can go there and find it. I also posted it on LinkedIn and Facebook and all those places so they can come and they can connect with you, because I think you can really, really make a difference in their life. And so thank you so much for coming on today and sharing all this with us.
My pleasure. You know, when I do one-on-one with people, I actually guarantee my results in writing. I actually put it in results, and I go, okay, what do you want in your first what do you want in your first month in your personal life and your business? What do you want in the 3 months or a 6 month? And then I go, I can guarantee it, put it in writing. And then thank God I never had anybody ask for the money back.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I actually guarantee everything that I sell or whatever, I guarantee it.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Agrius, for coming on tonight. And thank you so much for the opportunity to get this free test on your website and have a consult with you.
I appreciate you, lady, so much for the opportunity as well. Very blessed to have been here today.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you so much.